Yes, 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 world. What's going on, man? This is your man, Buddy Roming, and we are back at it with another episode of the Yeah Buddy podcast. And this podcast is brought to you by the Comedy Cash Cow Competition. If you are a comedian out there and you want a chance to win $1,000 and start in your own movie, you need to go to www.comedycashcow.com right now. And like any other episode, y'all, I always try to bring in some of my friends in the entertainment industry so we have a chance to catch up, see what they got all got going on. And this episode is like no other. This episode, man, I got two of my good friends in the building right now. This other guy you've seen, you probably seen him in everything in the Bay Area, from Fruitvale Station all the way to Blind Spotting. But we got my man, Mr. Timothy Slater, in the building. And then joining him in the building, we have a director, filmmaker, one of the founding members of the Black Film Connect out of the Bay Area. Give it up for my man, Mr. Saretis, in the building. Saretis, my bad. I told you I was going to butcher that. I didn't even want to say his last name. I knew I was going to fuck it up. My bad. I had some of the Casamigos before we started the show. My bad. But no, yeah, fellas, how y'all doing, man? It's been a long time no see. I think last time I seen y'all was at the Black to the Movies, and then Tim, I just seen you at the on the Leonardo DiCaprio movie up here in Sacramento. But how y'all been since then?
Man, working, bro. Meeting after meeting, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It don't stop.
Yeah. No, y'all got a very special project that y'all got going on. We'll get that into that later into the episode, but before we do, I want to get everybody introduced to y'all, let them know what y'all got going on and stuff like that. So before we do, just give everybody here listening a quick rundown, your resume, what y'all have been on, projects and things like that. How'd you get started into acting and filmmaking?
I'm a SAG film actor from San Jose, California. Started off in music videos and then graduated to independent film. And then to big films, you know, Buddy was right there with me on the grind, on the independent grind. You know what I mean? We did a couple independent films together. You know what I'm saying? So what was that thing? Some karate film?
Oh, Fight Back. Fight Back. Yeah. Yeah.
A kid beat our butt. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Beat both our butts. That's how, with Dwayne Jordan. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Salute Dwayne Jordan. It's his birthday today. Yeah, man. So, yeah, we just been grinding. You know what I mean? Fruitvale Station is my chance to actually be in a big SAG film. You know what I'm saying? And that's the first time I met Dwayne Jordan also. He was Michael B. Jordan stand-in. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Since then, I've just been on big things.
Big,
you know,
grinding. Big grinding, yeah.
Big projects.
Yeah.
Saretzi,
how about you?
Yeah, so I did send a message just now, but let me know if it's not good, because I understand. But yeah, we can keep going.
Yeah, you want us to start over?
Yeah, if we can, just because it looks like a link didn't get sent out to somebody. My apologies.
Well, there's only going to be just the two of us on the thing.
Got it.
But yeah,
Tim, did you know?
Huh?
My apologies, man. I'm not trying to, like, interrupt. I'm just trying to, like, be mindful. But, yeah, basically, just to give you the background, I'm a filmmaker from, right here, Oakland. Born and raised, not in Oakland, born in San Jose, but moved to Oakland when I was about 11. And, just moved around the Bay and kind of got into the film thing through photography, which I then did music videos. And then I moved into, a few other avenues for a while, went to school for it. I've been at it for a while. Been at this in this game for a while, but pretty much, getting into the movie making side of things is a pursuit that I've been pursuing for about 10 years, and it feels like right now it's when things are really getting real. So, you never know what time or what day it'll actually get real. But when it does, you just gotta go for it.
No, yeah, I definitely feel that. I think that a lot of people don't understand the concept of when we say you got to like make it overnight, like overnight success, that success, it's not tomorrow night, but it will be one night. And it does take that grind. Like how Tim was even just saying, like, we've been on the grind for 10 years, even just to get to this point to where we're at right now. So no, we definitely understand the grind and the passion that it takes to even like say just to make it to that 10 year mark. And we still feel like rookies at sometimes. Still feel like rookies.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You can learn something new with every set that you're on, you know. It's a learning process, you know what I'm saying? Which brings us to producing, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna keep with your schedule plan
No, it's all
going
good, bro. Like I said, we got time. We'll get it in and stuff like that. But so going back to like I said, me and Tim, we've been on like I said, the fight back. It's been crazy. We've been at tables with Warren Buffett. He just over here just talking. We're like, oh, what is this life going on, man? And then all three of us even worked on Blind Spotting season one together and stuff like that. Is there a project that you could say that you were on where you was just all like, okay, yeah, this is it for me. I know this is something I'm committed to. I'm dedicated to, and I'm gonna just stay on this grind.
Well, Fruitvale Station, definitely. You know what I mean? That was just surreal, to be honest. And I seen how hard Ryan Coogler was working on that. You know what I mean? I don't know if you did any days on that, buddy, but yeah, Ryan Coogler, he was stressing. You know what I'm saying? He was stressing behind that camera. So I could see like the grind it took for him to get over the hump of making your first big major film. You know what I'm saying? And the pressure it took. You know what I'm saying? And that dedication just got me involved and wanted me to stay involved in this process. You know. That and walking by Michael Fassbender and Steve Jobs saying, "What's up, Steve?" You know what I mean?
Like the only black guy, only black guy in that movie.
Only black guy in the whole set, bro. That was surreal. I got a funny story to that Soretti knows, but I ain't gonna tell it here. But
I got a funny story. I got a funny story about Fruitvale Station, but I'm gonna let Soretti go first. I mean, go and tell his what his project was.
Got it. Can you repeat the question a little bit? My apologies.
No, it's all good, bro. No worries. I was just saying, was there a project that you had worked on that kind of just solidified that you wanted to do this? This is something that you wanted to make a career out of. It was, not stop.
That's a good question. Yeah, I mean, it's been a few. I'd say one that stood out to me was this movie called UFO, which is about International Boulevard in Oakland. And yeah, it's basically it's kind of like a, how do you put it? It's like a little experimental. It's like a kind of like Crash, the movie that had Don Cheadle and a few other people in it back in the day, and Ludacris. And basically, it's kind of like that, but it takes place in Oakland. It's looking at gentrification and just the impact on different citizens who live there. That movie had a big impact for me because it was the first time I'd actually seen a predominantly black film crew knock out a whole feature. That had a profound impact on the way I saw the industry after that. And basically just seeing different opportunities, different positions. And that was actually my first time being a first AC on a feature. So that was my first camera department, gig in that kind of way.
Yeah,
So,
not to cut you off, but for the people who are listening, what is an AC for people that don't understand film terminology?
Basically assistant camera, which just means that you support the director of photography, on the set you're on, like any given way. Usually pulling focus, running lenses, just different things. And basically, it's just one of the many nuts and bolts of getting it to run on time. And yeah, that project for me was kind of the stepping stone to like kind of put some other things in motion, especially thinking about doing more in-house things.
Yeah, most definitely. And then wanted to just get back real quickly to Tim, where you talk about Fruitvale Station, because I know I do have a funny story about it. Because I was working off Fruitvale Station. You was on you. I know you was one of the UPS guys, but you was also in one of the scenes where they was on the BART train, right? Yeah, because I yeah, you did both. So I was working the same day you was working on the BART scene, and I remember when they had did the casting call. They was like, bring it whoever you want, bring whoever you want. So I did. I brought my mom. I brought my mom to set. And
Right.
she was just having this great ball of a time, like, oh my word, this is so fun, so fun. She's all like, and she was all like, I sat next down to this guy named Tim. He had the greatest smile. He just brought this great old energy and stuff all like that. And I was like, yeah, that was you, bro. I was all like, that's what's up, man. So Tim.
Oh, that's love. I had no idea, man.
Yeah.
See how small the world is? You know
Yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's dope, man. So yeah. I worked like 7 days on Fruitvale Station. You know what I'm saying? They just kept bringing me back. Because they needed extras for that, you know what I'm saying? So they just kept placing me in certain places, you know what I mean? I'm in that movie a couple times, you know what I mean? I can spot myself, but you're not supposed to be able to do that. You can't focus on the extras, right? You know what I mean? But Yeah, I'm all through that movie if you
But that's what we do, man. That's what we do. That's what I want to
Yeah.
know. Like, now that you're like both of us, all of us are like 10 years, 10 plus years into the game, has watching movies changed now that you've behind the scenes see how
Oh
everything
yeah.
works and stuff like that? Has it changed how you watch movies?
Oh yeah. I mean, we're extras, you know what I'm saying? So it's weird watching movies and you see the same extra just walk by like 10 times, right? Wearing the exact same outfit, you know what I mean? Walking by the dialogue, you know what I mean? It's kind of weird, you know what I mean? Like, damn. They needed to hire more extras that day, but yeah, you just notice little things like that in film now, you know what I mean? I know Sorezzi, he's got a plethora of things, you know.
How's it change? How has filmmaking changed the way you view watching movies?
It's a good question too. Got a lot of great questions today. Changing how I see films in general, or filmmaking, or the craft of it. It makes me think about the bar, right? It changed the way I view the bar of making the film, like what's needed to do that. That's the biggest thing that changed. I can get it deeper into that, but to keep it simple, that's what it changed the most for me.
Yeah, but by all means, man, don't mind going deep, bro. This is what it's all about, man. We try to expose people to what it's really like working in this industry, who think that it's all just glitz and glamour and red carpet and stuff like that. It's like, no,
Okay, got you, got you,
it's a
got
lot
you.
of grind, it's a lot of hard work, but behind all that, man, there's great relationships that are formed and bonded. So that's what we're just trying to let people know.
Got you. I'll get a little deeper then. When I say the bar, what I'm speaking to is, filmmaking very much was not something that I had too many personal connections to, family-wise or otherwise. I had like two cousins who actually did go to USC and actually were in like extras in a movie, like a Warner Brothers movie, and then they never did anything else. And that was like the only people in my circumference who really did anything in the film world. So jumping into it, here in Oakland was pretty much just me. And looking at it like that, the bar that I looked at before I made anything was, what studio do you got to go work with, this or that? But that's not how it is at all, especially not as an independent filmmaker. So the bar to make a movie is really just more about, like you said, relationships and, planning, pre-production, your willingness to go along a long time without having certainty about if it'll work out or not. So the bar to make movies was more so like a test of like patience, more than a lot of things.
So speaking of like with relationship, how did y'all two get formed together? Because we're about to get into this big project that I know that y'all been working on, y'all want to talk about right now. How did y'all get connected and say, let's work together?
I was working with a dance crew named the Terfiends. They reached out to me. Well, we connected really on like E40's video, you know what I'm saying? Like I want to work with y'all on something. Then I seen them again on Fruitvale Station. Look how Fruitvale Station just keeps getting brought up. So weird. But but Chunky was dancing in Fruitvale Station. I'm like, man, you got a movie star quality about you, bro. Like we should work on something. So me and the Terfiends brought out a little screenplay, but I started pitching around and nobody really was biting for it, really. Like, and then I reached out to Black Film Connect, right? And Soretzi hit me back, was like, this sounds like a great idea. Let's work on the script though. The script was kind of wild, you know. So that's how we got into a relation, like a screenplay relationship, you know what I'm saying, with us formulating this team. Tehan, Devin, me and Soretzi, like, are the screenplay writing team that, we collaborate on things, and yeah, and that brings us to another project. But I'll let Soretzi tell you his viewpoint on everything.
How'd you work with Tim, man? And tell people the backstory of what the Black Film Connect is, because you kind of put me up on game working on Blindspotting season one. That you even invited me out to do stand-up comedy at one of your events. It was Black to the Movies, which was a great program that you had put on. We highlighted a lot of filmmakers, artists, singers. So it was great. So tell people what the Black Film Connect is and how you made that connection with Tim.
Yeah, you know, it's been a movie, man. Like the whole last 4 years has been pretty crazy because this all happened in the space of 4 years. So meeting Tim was 4 years ago, shortly after the first BFC Black to the Movies event, which was in Oakland. Pretty much, he hit me up a few days after that, and he was, basically looking for some help because he's been in the game about as long as I have, about 11, 12 years. And basically, he was looking for people who could help him with the script he had. And come to find out, it was about the Terfines. And this is one of the kind of like you could say pillars of Oakland street culture and just culture in general that was relevant when I was younger. Like when I was in high school, they was doing the YouTube thing, blowing up. So just that connection right there, because like one of the things, the reason why Black Film Connect, going back to the other part, got started was wanting to see content that reflected the experience of, you know what I mean, out here, more so out here, because it's few and far in between when you look at content. And no matter what you're talking about, Netflix, Hulu, don't matter what you're talking about, it's few and far in between. So the fact Tim was trying to do that, do something that had a relevance to what we see in Oakland, what we see, in the Bay in general, spoke to me pretty tough. So that's kind of what started everything as far as our relationship. And, speaking to Tayon, speaking to Devin Wessel, basically they were in BFC. And, BFC formed for a number of reasons. One of the biggest being that, when I was, before BFC started, that film I mentioned earlier actually happened before that. And that was influential to me starting BFC because prior to that film, E1FO, directed by Rafael Flores, basically, opportunities for those kind of productions and just in general, independent or otherwise, were few and far in between in general. And most importantly, the kind of content I would get opportunities to work on was not locally focused in the way that spoke to me or my experience. And I just looked at it as, I have to play this game and you have to be around and you have to build relationships with people that don't necessarily care about the stories you want to tell. And then BFC was flipping that. Where it's like, no, actually, I want to network with people who, at the very least, understand that experience, or even better, people who, because they got into BFC, don't understand that experience. Because some people got brought into the film world through BFC and have really only interfaced with it through that, which to me is pretty profound because it gives people a different view of the options from day one. Because I was, freelancing for like 5 years before BFC was even a thing. And for 6 years actually. And it was kind of like one of those things where you're thinking like, well, I guess I need to move to LA at some point, or I guess I need to go to Atlanta at some point, or I guess I need to leave the Bay to do anything in this industry because it's not happening here like that. And that was an experience, the whole pandemic, which is kind of a gift and a curse, but it kind of opened up a lot of doors.
Nice. I'm gonna give a round of applause, man. Give a round of applause for the BFC, man. Y'all really, like I said, because sometimes, like I said, when it comes, especially to like how you say with Black filmmaking, it's like it has like its seasons. I feel like it comes and then it goes and then it comes and then it goes. But you have something that's just that's stable there that's gonna keep it going, keep it going, keep that train rolling. So, what is the project now that y'all two are working on?
The Jacka documentary.
The Jacka, yeah, rest in peace to the Jacka, man. Tell us a little bit about, well, not even, not a little bit. Just tell us about it. How to get started.
How to get started was I reached out to PK. Well, I've been knowing the Jacka for a little bit. I met him a couple of times. Real close. I had a couple good conversations with the man. One of the last conversations I had about him was Fruitvale. See how Fruitvale Station keeps getting brought up? So weird. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out Ryan Coogler, man, because not to cut you off, man, it can't be understated. Like Ryan Coogler was a major influence on any Black filmmaker in the Bay
Man,
Area, period.
man, it feels like when that movie happened, a shift happened in the Bay Area culture of film. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's a very profound moment in Bay Area history that people overlook. You know what I mean? But yeah, Jacka was telling me that he got a song in there, and He got a nice check from it, and he wants to get into movies, you know? And that's the last conversation I had. A week later, he was gone. So that always stuck with me. So I always had a cool relationship with PK, his manager, and I had a decent relationship with Mama Jack, you know what I'm saying? Met her a couple times, and reached out to PK about like maybe writing a screenplay about the Jacka, right? But in order to write a screenplay about the Jacka, I'm gonna have to interview a lot of people, right? So if we're gonna interview all these people, we should probably film it, you know what I'm saying, and call it a documentary since there isn't a Jacka documentary. So yeah, that's where we at right now, you know.
Okay, that's Soretti, how did you get it? What is your involvement with the Jacket documentary?
I'll say Tim summed it up really good, so I'm just gonna add a few cliff notes. Pretty much my involvement was Tim hit me up out of the blue after we had been, trying a few other projects and just trying to get something. Because I mean, the thing is too, when you're doing it independently, you throw a lot of this, you throw a lot of stuff at the wall, and not all of it sticks. Very little of it actually sticks. And like I said, especially when you're doing something that isn't really being done that much. The shout out to Ryan Coogler, which is why I said that, for like putting Bay Area film content in a spotlight. Shout out to people like Rafael Casal, David Diggs, Boots Riley, et cetera, et cetera. Even people before that, but I'm saying for this era, those three right there, those four right there really did set the tone for like a lot of what's going on right now.
Yeah, that was
And that
definitely our
being
Black
said,
Renaissance. Definitely like our Black Renaissance, our Blaxploitation, if you will, just putting Black filmmakers on the map and give us that jolt to the back to be like, let's go and do this. Didn't mean to cut you off, but yeah.
No, it's all good. It's all good. That's the energy we got. So that being said, when he hit me up about it, this was actually coming off of a low from a previous project that didn't work out. And then he hit me up like, hey, I talked to PK and I wanted to see if you might want to work on this Jacka project, this at the time biopic script. I'm like, what? Like he didn't know, like Tim had no idea what the Jacka meant to me at that time. I was like, you just asked me, do I want to do my like, you know what I mean? Like about the closest thing I say to like hero favorite rapper from when I was like in high school. Man, come on, man. That's a given. I want to do it. But obviously having been gone through a few lows right before that, the first thing that came to mind for me is, okay, what's gonna solidify this? Like what's gonna solidify getting to actually do this? So that being said, we pitched. We pitched, did a deck, did a few things, a few other things, really thought about it. The doc idea came about because of thinking about it. And we pitched that. We started, because we were offered to do a biopic script, but we pitched back a doc because it made more sense to start there. And also the Jack has been, gone for 9 years now. So we're getting to a point where he's a legacy artist who also a lot of people are keeping his memory alive, but it's harder to do a project when you want to get other investors involved if people don't feel like he's relevant anymore. So we just pitched it like this is the opportunity. We're about to hit the 10-year mark of his anniversary of his passing. Let's hit that hard. Let's actually have something ready for that. It's a biopic. It's not going to happen in that period of time. A year and a half, that's not going to happen. So we can get a doc done in that kind of time frame. So when we pitched it, they understood it. And shout out Mama Jack, shout out PK, shout out the people who understood it, because that's really what we, where we came from, and that's pretty much how it started.
Nice. Can you speak a little bit about how, and this is for both of y'all, can you speak a little bit about how the Bay Area hip hop culture has embraced y'all as filmmakers and actors? Just because they look at it as, how you said, we look at like the Jacka, these people like Mr. Fab and all them, be like, man, look at that, that's them. But then when they see you guys as actors, they're like, man, well, how do I occupy that space? Can, yeah, can you can you go on and like elaborate just the love that the Bay Area hip hop scene has shown y'all, and then vice versa, the love and admiration. You kind of spoke to it with how you guys are with the jacket, but just the overall Bay Area hip hop scene. Because Tim, I see you in a lot of music videos that I even ran into you when Master P came down to the Bay Area to do that concert. I think in I know, Super Dunkley. Yeah, he's over here just chilling with like Cool John and everybody. Yeah, what the fuck is Tim doing up here, bro? Like, yeah, like
I'm cool with Cool John.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So, okay, y'all kind of like elaborate on this, how people don't really understand just how integrated, but we talk about like the entertainment world, because the Bay Area is such a small.
Well, when I first started was through music videos, you know what I'm saying? So I'm in hella people's music videos, bro, or just helping out, you know, on set, you know what I mean? So that's how I got, you know, introduced to all these rappers at that time, you know, Clyde Carsons, Too Short, T40s, you know what I'm saying? All the top big wigs, you know what I mean? At that time, you know what I mean? That era. And Jekyll was still alive and all that. So, yeah, I was just around, you know what I mean? Just hanging around, kicking it with the big guys, you know what I'm saying? Because I was in music videos and stuff, you know? And then I did, like, independent films and that Fruitvale Station, Steve Jobs and stuff like that. So I started just getting a lot of love from, you know, the Bay Area community, you know, through hip-hop and now film, you know what I'm saying? Both genres, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, it's been cool, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what to say about it, but it's all love, you know?
It's a blessing.
I just love doing what I'm doing, you know what I'm saying? Because I love hip-hop, you know, I love rap. I can't rap. I tried spending 16, you know what I'm saying?
I told people, if I could rap, I would not be doing stand-up comedy. I would be doing something else with the microphone.
I tried, you know, doing a song, you know what I'm saying? And the guys in the studio are like, ah, oh, man, this ain't it, bro. You know, they had to let me know, you know what I'm saying? So I kept with this film thing, you know what I mean? Kept with the acting. So, but yeah, man, it's all love, dog, you know? And because of those relationships I developed, it led me to this point, you know what I'm saying? So I'm able to reach out to people and, you know, and show love to the Jack. You know, I think that's one of these rappers from the Bay Area that don't get enough love and credit that they're supposed to be getting. You know what I mean? Like, he should be looked at as a Tupac around here, or somebody of that magnitude in the Bay Area. You know what I mean? Mac Dre's looked at that already, but I think Jacka should also be on that level. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, most definitely.
But I'll let Soretti talk now. My bad.
No, it's all good, bro. It's all good. We vibe it. We vibe it. We conversate. That's what this is about, man. Yeah.
Okay. It's along with the niggas. That's all. That's
yeah.
all. what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. To your question about hip hop and how that kind of led to things. Yeah, you know, I started out in this film game doing music videos like heavy. Like, that's what got me into doing videos. Actually, video editing. Before that, I was video editing content for a website. And it was like a blog back when music blogs was a thing. You had like Two Dope Boys. You had like all them other ones. And I was in the game at the time, you know, doing it very small. But I had like a video channel, me and my boy Nick Lucero. Shout out Nick. And basically, we was documenting different people just who were, you know, popping at the time. Back in the day when Mozzie had just came out, like around that time in 2013, people like that, Blast Holiday, Young Gully, like just people who were surfacing in the early 2010s. And I, you know, of course, the Jacka was coming off of Tear Gas, and he had some stuff out there too. So, you know, this was an era that the Jacka definitely factored into. So that was like how I got into video creation in the first place. So that, you know, has always been at the foundation of, you know, video content for me has been, you know, hip hop. And really specifically, it factored in to what I felt like is meaningful in terms of content. Cause, you know, when you're trying to do things that you don't have a reference point for, you look at other people's blueprints. So, like, you know, like you go to school, like you work on whatever project that you could work on. And a lot of those projects do not involve hip hop at all. And, you know, I've been in a lot of different rooms over the course of time, but the one that I keep coming back to is hip hop. So that's one of the main reasons me and Tim linked up. When he pitched the Turf Fiends, to me, that's hip hop. You know, it's different. It's like the Oakland version of it, obviously, but it still connect back to that. So this is actually the very first, not the first one I ever pitched. because I pitched a lot of different projects involving that, but this is the first one that stuck, where I'm getting to actually do a project specifically about hip hop culture from the Bay, and it's sticking. So this is like a big deal to me. You know, it's a big deal to me because it speaks to something that I think, though people know about it, they don't understand it really. And I think to be understood is part of to be loved. So I think that a lot of the things that we don't get a lot of love for is because people don't understand it. And I think that that's the power of movies, is you can get people to see it in a different way. Even people who saw it in real time but didn't necessarily get it to the degree that, you know, because like we're in a period now where hip hop is becoming a legacy genre in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of like moving into its next phase, so to speak. So you got a bunch of people between the age of 30, 28, 30, 50, 60 who grew up on hip hop their whole life. And they're looking for reflections on the most, you know, meaningful cultural movement of the 2000s, 90s, 80s. You know what I mean? Like they want to see that. So, yeah, this is big to me because it's speaking to the foundation.
Yeah, I think we all have that love and appreciation for hip hop because, like I said, when we was growing up, we didn't really have too many figures in the film industry world that we could really like look up to and relate to. So it always goes back to hip hop for us, as those mm-hmm. were like our inspirations to getting into the entertainment world. And now, so how long have y'all been working on filming the documentary?
About 6 months,
a little bit longer. We've been working on production for about 6 months, pre-production and development about like coming up on nine or 10 months about. Ooh,
yeah. Dedication, mm-hmm. dedication. Is there anything that you, what would you say is one thing that you've learned about the Jacka that you didn't know?
There's a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kind of want to save some things for the doc, you know what I mean? Like, in case we say something that folks didn't know. I guess we could tell them the meaning of Shahid.
I'll say this, man. Like, you know, I was, like, a very avid listener of his as far as, like, his albums and a lot of his mixtapes and even a lot of his, like, collaborations projects. So, like, I had an inkling that he was, you know, pretty deep into Islam, but I had no idea whether or not he was really, like, because, you know, like when you listen to rappers in Islam, a lot of times you think NOI, which he was at one point in life. But I didn't know how deep he was into that. And then he was also a Sunni Muslim, which I didn't know like the specifics of, but I just heard it in his lyrics enough to kind of pick that up. But definitely one of the things I learned is just how much that meant to him as a person. And, you know, meeting some of the people who helped him along the path to, you know, getting deeper into that, which we showed in the teaser we actually just screened a few 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, that was definitely something that came out in the doc. There's a lot of things, though. But, you know, some stuff you just got to watch to find out.
No, of course. Yeah, save stuff for the no spoiler alerts. No spoiler alerts. Yeah, let the people go out there and watch the documentary.
Well, one thing I didn't know about the Jack is I didn't know he had a little brother. You know what I'm saying? In our first meeting with Mama Jack, I'm introduced to a guy named TK. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, who is this guy? Like, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, oh, this is Jack's brother. Like, Jack has a little brother? Like, that's brand new to me. You know what I'm saying? And TK got a whole story behind that. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of things that people have no idea about. You know what I mean? So.
Awesome. And the YouTuber, you're not the only producers that's working on the film. There's more producers that are involved in the making of this.
Correct. So yeah, Teyon Davis, who basically came up through BFC in a lot of ways, but more or less he's, you know, like you said, a co-producer. He's bringing a lot of expertise, especially with connections to you know what I mean, some of the lighting we have on display in the doc, which a lot of people have like given us a lot of props for, just how it's come together and how it's like looked. A lot of that has to do with that. And then Devin Wessel, who has linked up a lot of virtual production people on our side, who's also producing. And that's a whole new concept in film right now that's gaining more traction. And the fact we're able to leverage virtual production in this project, you know, for the teaser even, was a blessing. And that happened through Devin. So just bringing a lot of different expertises and, you know, disciplines. Because a lot of people don't understand, since we're talking to, you know, a wider audience, They don't understand how many different avenues there are in film to be an artist, or even just to be a business person, or even just to be supporting these projects at any, like, in any kind of way. You know, it's a very wide array of skills, and not one person does everything.
And then outside of the jacket documentary, I've seen a lot of promoting on like especially Tim's Instagram about the Jacka art exhibit.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be part of the documentary
Yeah,
also.
I was gonna ask, what came first? Was it the documentary or was it the art exhibit?
The documentary definitely, but
Okay.
we were trying to find out, creative ways of fundraising, what I'm saying, for this documentary and
Hey,
to
we
get
give him
the
a better
word out
story. We give
about
him a better story, though. A better one.
it.
So we was on the Jacka Cruise. We was on the Jacka Cruise in August, which for those of y'all who know or don't know, basically Mama Jack does a cruise on the bay for her son's birthday on August 12th every year. And basically, that day we found ourselves on a boat, and we were meeting a lot of fans, meeting a lot of, people. I mean, obviously more than just fans were there. They had artists, Selsky, Hustler, you know what I mean? B Love, just different people. People who have been in Jacka's sphere for a long time. And basically on that boat, that's where the idea came about to do the Jacka Art Experience. We were already 3 months in. We'd already pitched it. We'd already, you know what I mean? Like, we were there to do some canvassing for the doc even. But the idea came about because it was Hip Hop 50 that year. So the energy in the air for hip hop was different than it had been for a lot of other years. So that can't go without being mentioned. Like, Hip Hop 50 is a lot of the reason why the Jacka Art Experience happened.
And that
Because,
Jay-Z exhibit.
period. Like, without seeing other people do these crazy, extravagant, beautiful, comprehensive deep diving exhibits and just all kind of things. Like, without seeing that, the idea for this would never have happened. So that being said, going from that, seeing it, other people do it, and for their legends, because I want to emphasize that point. For Jay-Z in New York, like, he's like one of the, I mean, I don't even have to explain. If you listen to hip hop, you know exactly what Jay-Z is and what he is to the city, right? So that's the kind of feeling we got on that cruise, that exact feeling of there's this much energy for the Jacka right here on this boat. So we need to give them something that they could express that energy at. And some of the artists who were in the show were even on that boat. Like KR-Dub was on that boat. A few other ones were. So it's been a community, you know what I mean? And obviously, taking an idea from the idea to the reality is a very different, process. But it started on the boat, because seeing all the energy, the outpour, everything else happen in Hip Hop 50, context, and thinking what we could do to keep that going, that's where we saw kind of the idea start.
Awesome. And so the art exhibit, is it still, so like right now it's February 22nd. Is the art exhibit still going on?
No,
No.
it is
Okay.
available virtually. So you can
Available
go on
virtually.
thejackadoc.com, www.thejackadoc.com/art, ART. And if you click the first link on the page, it'll take you to a virtual tour, a Matterport of the entire show.
Okay,
And,
awesome.
obviously, it's not quite the same as being there, but honestly, just, shout out to everybody who made it possible to do that show. Because even virtually, it's still kind of a. Takes my breath away a little bit thinking about what happened between trying to do it and actually doing it.
Yeah, as I say, because it seemed like when I see people post on Instagram, it looked like it was a lot of people embraced it. Because correct me if I'm wrong, because we just talked about it, it was like the 50 year anniversary of hip hop. Was that really like the only type of like hip hop celebration that was going on in like the Bay Area?
Are you asking, can you rephrase?
I'll say so was it so I'll say just with the Jacka art exhibit lining up with the 50 years of hip hop, I felt like y'all was really the only thing that was doing something to celebrate a hip hop legacy.
Well, shout out Jahlil, shout out, the Bay Area Hip Hop 50, which is like this, it was at the Oakland or at the African American Library Museum in Oakland. They did something commemorating, a lot of underground Bay Area legends, including Davey D, including, Reefer One, including other people, right? And then there was also something at the OMCA, like a month later after that in the summer that had like, jazz interpolations of classic hip hop records. There were things. There was also the the Empire exhibit for Too Short. They did a little concert. So it wasn't really an exhibit, but it was more like a concert. So they did like a show in SF. They got a pretty decent crowd. But yeah, no, I mean.
But y'all did something, though. 50. The important thing is y'all did something, though. Y'all did something. I tried more so. Yeah. That wasn't even really more so a question. Yeah, that was more so just giving y'all flowers.
I'm just trying to
give y'all flowers.
Nah, I appreciate you. I'm just trying to.
Terrence, you're trying to be technical about it.
Nah. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, because what you're saying is not wrong. Like, what we saw, like what Jay-Z did with the Book of Hov exhibit in Brooklyn, that didn't happen in the Bay. You know, that didn't happen in the Bay before that. So, like, that's what we were going for. We were going for something like that. And, no, I mean, it didn't happen in the Bay Area, you know, in 2023. Now, you know, obviously, Jay-Z is a, you know, huge platinum, multi-platinum, diamond-selling, you know, face of the genre. So it's a little different when you're talking about the underground or even just, like, less mainstream artists. But that being said, you know, yeah, you know, we wanted to do a special because the time felt right to try to do something like that. And we happened to get the right kind of help. Shout out One Culture. One Culture in San Jose, Andrew Espino. We knew we couldn't, you know what I mean? Like, we're filmmakers.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do art.
Yeah.
We appreciate art.
We don't know art.
And art that fits the Jacka, you know what I mean? In the sense of what kind of vision we kind of wanted. We had, you know, an idea of how we wanted the exhibit to be, but executing like the lineup for the show and things like that. No, that was, you know, One Culture, Andrew Espino, and just collaborating. And also D-Ray. You know, shout out D-Ray too, because she was a huge part. She's the headliner of the exhibit. So that go without saying. But, you know, also shout out Mama Jack, because one of our ideas was, can we get this car that nobody really done seen outside of a few inner circle people? Can we get this beautifully restored 1971 cherry red Cutlass in the center of the floor? Can we get one of the most representative vehicles of Bay Area car culture? It don't get no more Bay Area than car than Cutlasses. You know, you can say a box Chevy, you can say, but nah, Cutlasses.
Owned by the Jacka, by the way.
Right. His Cutlass. That was his car. That was literally his. And so few people had actually seen it in real life. We were like, nah, we got to put this in here. You know,
the story is Jack wrecked it the day he got it.
Oh, really?
He drove that car one day, but that was his first car. That was literally his very first car. His mom passed it down and she got it from her cousin. That was in the family. And bless his heart, he wrecked it the first day he got it.
He didn't know how to drive.
It happens.
But that being said, you know, Be Love and Wet Examples and Benicia, they restored it up to working order, and it's beautiful. You know, obviously, I don't got to say it because people done seen it, but that being said, like, yeah, you know, that was the energy we had going into it. Like, what can we do that's really going to capture the feeling of a Hip Hop 50 exhibit? And in the Bay Area, where the Jacka is one of those rare people who, in spite of the fact he's underground, we got shout-outs for doing this event from all over the country. From New York, Texas, Paul Wall, Freeway, Core Mega, just different people. There's a visibility to doing this where people appreciate it even outside the context of being in the Bay. So we knew that it was the right time.
Yeah, I just want to say, because one of the things, especially working in this entertainment business, it's one thing for you to put like yourself on, like, I'm going to make myself famous, you know, give myself some type of exposure. But it's a totally different thing when you go and say, I'm gonna give somebody else that exposure. Because even though Jack, like I said, he was that underground legend to us, but we don't really understand how his impact affected the whole entire hip hop country. Because there's an underground scene, like you said, in Texas. There's the underground scene in Philly. There's the underground scene in New York,
right.
And they all loved and respected the Jack. So for you to go on there and say, you know what, we're going to give a light to this guy, I guarantee you it's probably going to inspire somebody down in Texas, you know, somebody like said in Philly and New York to say, you know, we're going to do the same thing for our guy, just because this is what they did for the Jacka.
Right.
Like, I even see like Mr. Fab. Mr. Fab was down there. He was shooting a music video.
Letter to the Jacka.
Yeah, that was one of the dopest moments at the show. You know, I had heard the song before and it's a great, beautiful record, but there wasn't a video for it. So the fact that he chose out of anywhere he could have filmed the video that he picked that spot, you know what I mean? Obviously, it made sense, but it was just, it was still kind of just like, you know, it just showed like, you know, that the event had done what it was supposed to do.
Yeah.
Because that's a big video, or that's a big song, meaning like to pick a location for. Because, you know, I mean, like Jack is really loved out here. Mm-hmm. I want people who don't know him to walk away knowing that. Like, he's really loved out here.
All right.
So, yep.
Emotions were very high with everybody walking through that, you know. Lil Jacka, he was a superstar in that event, you know. He was performing some of his dad's songs and everything. It was a real special moment, man. You know, I wish more people would have came and experienced that, you know what I mean? Because it was really something special, you know what I mean? Something in the air.
Yeah, it's like I said, almost like a celebration of life, even though, you know, you kind of do that like funerals and stuff like that, but it was still like 9 years later, still that celebration of life, letting you know that your energy is still here, bro, and it's still appreciated, it is still loved. So, and yeah, I know his mom, everybody, the whole family probably really appreciated that. And then now he even has his own day coming up.
Yeah, that was announced at the show too.
Yeah,
salute to Mr. Bedell, AKA DJ Quest, you know. Mm-hmm. He works at the mayor's office. We didn't know that, you know. We wanted to interview him for the doc, but he was giving us other news, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He had other plans, you know, to make this special. So, like, yeah. Soretzi, you want to touch on that?
Yeah, you know, I'm a call Hustler, who was at the event, too, and he said, like, Jacka, whether people knew it or not, cultivated a circle of good people who you would see the higher potential of later on. That's something that the, you know, Hus said at the event, and it resonates because when you look at the circle that Jacka cultivated, a lot of it, not only some of the most prominent artists who went on to do big things in Oakland and the Bay in general beyond that, but also people who are just motivated, you know, by being inspired by, you know, touring the world with, like, just seeing what Jacka did and then carrying that on in their own way. So, like, with DJ Quest expressing that himself and then being able to connect that to the leadership in the city of Oakland. And, you know, he's also the deputy director of Congresswoman Barbara Lee. So he has a very high political acumen. But the fact he's able to connect the dots for a celebration of the Jacka that what happened on the day he passed away, or specifically the day he was murdered. So the fact we were able to change with him, would change kind of what that day signified, is huge. Because it's celebrated. I mean, like, the day is on his birthday, so it's not on February 2nd. Jacka Day is on August 12th in the city of Oakland moving forward. But it got announced on the night of his death.
Yeah.
To his family, who were there. You know, his mom, his brother, his nephews, nieces, sister. You know what I mean? Like, that was big to us because that's a difficult day, no matter who was in the room.
Yeah, it's probably just
difficult for us because we're putting on an event that's paying tribute. And obviously, expectations are going to be high because he's loved. Mm-hmm. So that's a difficult day even for us beyond just being, you know what I mean? Like, going to his candlelight vigil memorial, which, you know, brought a big crowd back when he passed away. And, you know, going to that and then doing this, it's like everything is connected with this project. You know what I mean? For me, at least, it's like it's wild to think that the people you touch in life will still be there, mm-hmm. and will still be impacted by you. And it was really clear to see that in that room. So, yeah, being able to flip the narrative on that day is, I mean, it was a dream come true, honestly, because both for the our goal, which is to show that why the Jack is still relevant to the community in the Bay, like, to this day, couldn't ask for more than that.
No,
because that shows it. You know, that captures it.
Y'all definitely did something that's going to change people's lives forever. Just like I say, because even just announcing him having his own day on the anniversary of his death, it just, now it's just a totally different memory that they have, you know, going forward. So, like I said, once again, man, my hat's off to y'all. Give y'all flowers because y'all are doing something that's bigger than yourselves. And a lot of times in this industry, this entertainment business, it's hard to do that for us. It's hard to get out of our own heads, get out of our own egos and say, you know, we're going to do something for somebody else. And when y'all do, like, y'all are the epitome of, like, what happens. Like, so much good happens when you say, you know what, I'm gonna not think about myself. I'm going to put somebody else on. So, like I said, throughout the rest of this podcast episode, bro, I'm going to just give y'all flowers because y'all are doing something great out there in the Bay Area. And it should be
appreciated.
Yeah, definitely commended. So if
people
wanted to get involved, help out with the Jacka documentary, or, you know, find out more information about it, is there a place that they could go to?
Yes, thejackadoc.com or thejackadocofficial on Instagram. Those are the two best places to follow our progress. And beyond that, you know, obviously, you know, as we move forward, it's going to involve more and more people, you know, because the doc's not done. We screened a teaser at the event, 13 minutes, 30 seconds. We're aiming for a 1.5 to 2 hour runtime total for the whole film. So there's a lot of things that are in development at this moment. And as we work on it and as we get closer to that point, the only real deadline I'll say is our goal is to drop a real trailer for the real film exactly a year from February 2nd. You know, give that day yet another meaning, the debut of the Jacka documentary trailer. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, a lot of things, a lot of ambitions for this project and a lot of effort. But yeah, man. I mean, people like you, man, are helping make this possible, too, because showing that people care about doing these sorts of things is one of the hardest things to convey to people that ain't knowing. Uh-huh. And believe me, there are a lot of people that ain't knowing.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people who know, but even more that don't. And a lot of those people need platforms like you to show them what they don't know.
No, thank you, man. Appreciate
you, buddy.
No, yeah, appreciate y'all. Appreciate y'all being on here. Before I do get out of here, I'll let y'all finish up your day, your night, or whatever it may be. Last question I had is, I know this has probably been just a challenge for y'all and stuff like that, but if you were able to go back and do a documentary or art exhibit again on another Bay Area hip-hop figure, who would it be?
We're already in talks with a couple of people, actually.
Oh, see, yeah, man, see, already, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's that chain effect, man. Y'all gonna change the Bay Area.
Yeah, they already on us about that, man. Hopefully, you might see a Traxxamillion thing, you know? Yeah, pretty soon, maybe, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we got some things on the plate, man. And we got it's a lot of work that people are asking us to do, to be honest. But hey, this is what we ask for, you know.
Yeah,
right. This is the life we ask for.
Tim put it his producer hat on, bro. You would never thought about that, man, 10 years ago off Fruitvale Station, Cerezzi, bro.
Cerezzi did it, bro. He changed me from an extra stand-in to a producer, bro.
And yeah,
kind of forced all of us to do it too, you know what I mean? But it's good, you know what I mean? I'm glad he did it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I never thought I could be on, you know, doing all this, you know what I mean? So salute to Cerezzi and thank you, bro. You know what I'm saying? We here now.
Yeah, right. Nah, man, but see, I mean, what he's speaking to is a lot of energy is being put into just convincing people that it's real, right? And someone like Tim having the relationships that he made over time and, you know what I mean, from me and other people involved with it, it all makes a big difference. So to answer your other question, though, about artists who I think deserve, I mean, many people deserve it, but who I would personally love to give that energy to, now, like I said, you know, one thing about being in the Bay is there's a lot of deserving people. So I don't want nobody listening to take it like we singling someone out or not mentioning someone else. You know what I mean? We'll do whatever. But personally, I would say that I would love to just focus on the 2000s in general. There's a lot of artists that came up out of that who didn't necessarily get known because they weren't necessarily part of the hyphy movement, but I felt like they were highly influential. And even ones who were in the hyphy movement who were highly more influential than what they got credited with. So I feel like that's the period of time that, you know, coincides with me growing up, but also just something that I want to give more light to. But like I said, man, you could go back and look at people like Seagram, You know what I mean? People like Rappin' Ron, people like Ascari X, people like just different people from the previous eras of Oakland rap and just Bay Area rap. You could find a lot of great stories. So I do want to focus on the stories that I feel like I have my finger on the pulse of a little bit more, though.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
And that's another reason why we chose this, because you got to write what you know. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We were alive around this time. We've been to these shows. We met probably the artists, you know what I mean? So
period.
You gotta write what you know what I'm saying? And we're screenwriters, and I feel like we're very close to the subject, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, and shout out to Balance. He kind of hit me up and told me like he wanted to do this, you know what I mean? But, you know, we might work on something, you know, in the future. We had a couple meetings with Balance, you know what I mean? And salute to Balance. He's doing amazing things right now. You know what I'm saying? He's a superior screenwriter. You know what I mean? So, this has been like our Fruitvale station. You know what I'm saying? Like how Ryan Coogler started with telling a story about a true story. You know what I'm saying? This is our true story to tell. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, we're going to treat it with absolute respect and dignity and show that he's a king, you know what I mean? Because we see him as a king. We see him as royalty around here, to be honest, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And on that note, let me ask you a question, man. What do you hope to see in this documentary that you hope we do get into when it comes to the Jacka? Like, what do you hope we get into?
I would say me, because when I'm from Sacramento, so the whole entire hyphy movement and the Bay Area music scene and stuff like that, I saw it from like the outside looking in. So for me, it's just that appreciation and just that education of really seeing that it was more than just going dumb, shaking your dreads, you know, Ghost Rider the whip. I'm really more interested in seeing these people, who they were as individuals. And that's what I would want to take away from it, because like I said, the Bay Area gave me my career in acting, you know. Like I said, I'm recorded in my room right here in Sacramento, but I wouldn't have happened if I didn't take that chance to go out and hang out on that BART train at Fruitvale Station all those years ago. So just like I said,
Fruitvale Station is a drinking game in this podcast. You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah, it is. Every time, that's what happened.
Yeah,
that's
man, what you gotta throw.
Everybody, yeah, everybody, every time we say the name Fruitvale Station or Ryan Coogler, somebody gonna take a shot or something. But like, no, that's what it was for me, man. Like I said, it was, and I was embraced. And everybody always showed me love. Got way more love out of the Bay Area than I did, you know, out here at Sacramento. So I just want to just see it. What it's really like as this like from him as a person, as people, as these individuals that made it to where like, damn, like, man, they showing me love out here. And maybe not the Jacka specifically, but just that whole entire energy, that whole entire aura, that whole entire culture, it just embraces people. And I just want to see why it is like that.
Now that resonates, bro. Last thing I'll say is that resonates. We had a lot of artists from just all over the Bay Area in the art show who came out and, you know, who aren't from the Bay and still did incredible work. Mm-hmm. Like Skogo Crazy from South Sac come to mind immediately. Yeah, you know what I mean? For your side of the water. But, you know, he did one of the dopest pieces, one of the dopest murals. And a lot of people had that story. It was a dude from D.C. who did a mural that was fire. Shout out Natty Rebel, who was dudes from all over the map. Salinas, Hayward. You know what I mean? Stockton, everywhere. So everything you said to me, like, I think that is common with who is working in the world of this project. Because, yeah, man, I mean, it was a moment in time that a lot of people didn't see, but the ones who did, it had a lot of meaning. So same with me, man, even though I'm from the Bay. I mean, obviously, it wasn't just our moment. It was shared throughout the world, honestly. So I think that's the one aspect of the story a lot of people don't realize, but they'll learn much more after they watch it. It's just that it wasn't, you know what I mean? Like, you could be local, but at the same time, in the era we live in now, you could do something locally, but have an impact globally.
Yeah.
The Bay shows a lot of love, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just, Like, I'm thinking of Steph Curry. He ain't from here, but he's the god in the Bay Area. You know what I'm saying? And the Jacka, he's born in Arizona. You know what I'm saying? So like, the Bay just shows love, bro. You know what I'm saying? It don't matter where you're from.
Damn, you just dropped the bomb on him. You just dropped the bomb on him. Not really.
Yeah. I never dropped the bomb on him. People don't know about the Jacka. Sorry, y'all. You know, he ain't from here, y'all. He's from Arizona. But he's from here, though. He's from here. You know what I'm saying? But you know, he's born in Arizona. You know what I mean? But it's cool.
Hey, man. Origin episode of the Jacka documentary.
Yeah. I was supposed to save that for y'all. My bad.
It's all good.
Nah. People going to be like, nah, he wrong about this.
No, now they're definitely going to tune in.
Oh, yeah, man. Well,
they're definitely going to tune in.
Viewers. Thank y'all. We love y'all. Thank y'all for making it possible, man, because without the viewers, we wouldn't even have the ability to let people know that people want to see it. So thank y'all, too.
Yeah. And so if anybody wants to follow you two, where could they go to follow you guys at? Your social media links or anything like that?
IG Timothy A. Slater.
And IG Rec Roll Real, RECROLLRELL.
Okay, nice. Like I said, they could just follow me. They see everything like right here. It's all right there for me. It's all right there.
Yeah, no need.
No explaining. Yeah. But they could listen. They could listen to the Yeah Buddy podcast everywhere you listen to podcasts, from Spotify, iHeart Podcast, Google Podcast, Amazon Podcast, Apple Podcast. So yeah, they're gonna listen to this. We're gonna put this out there. So in closing, was there anything that y'all wanted to say before we do wrap this podcast up?
We appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you so much, man. I mean, first off, salute. Second off, man, I hope we get to do this again.
No, we definitely got to do this.
Best thing about starting somewhere is people want to see where you finish.
Yeah. I was definitely telling Tim, because I want to do another follow-up podcast episode, even if it's like a couple months down the road. 6 months down the road, 8 months down the road, just and even with the rest of the team to see where we're at with the documentary.
Oh, that'd be dope.
Yeah. We definitely gonna run this back. This is just part two. I mean, this is part one. We're gonna bring back part two. And we're gonna have the real drinking game. Every time we say Fruitvale Station again, we gonna be taking shots.
No. Okay, you know what? I might have to bow out from that one.
No, it's all good. You can take shots of water. You can take shots of water.
Okay, I got it. Let's do it. I am saluting from Wakanda. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Okay, for sure. Yeah. So thank y'all again, fellas, man. It's been a pleasure. I'm pretty sure I'm gonna see y'all on a movie set soon again.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes.
You know how we do it, buddy.
Yes, sir. All right, man. All right, y'all have a good one. Peace. Yes, all right, y'all. This has been the Yeah Buddy podcast. We will catch y'all on the next episode.